Last week in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we read an article that E.A. Elam had written for the Sunday schools of January in 1928 about the Sabbath. Well, I have written an article about the Sabbath. I sent it to my friend Garland Robinson. He published it in his publication called Seek the Old Paths, and it was published for the issue that appeared in April of 2024. And I'm going to read that to you. You'll want to get your pen and paper handy because I want to give you the address where you can subscribe to this publication and receive it into your home absolutely free of charge. But I'll do that in just a moment. First, let me read this article. The title of it is Lord of the Sabbath. The caption under that, if the Sabbath had been intended for all the world to keep, it could not have been a sign of Israel's distinction. Jesus fulfilled the law and took it out of the way. With it went the observance of the Sabbath. Mark tells two stories back to back of Jesus and the Sabbath. They come at the end of Mark chapter 2 and the beginning of Mark chapter 3. They begin peaceful enough with Jesus walking with his disciples through a field of grain on a Sabbath morning, Mark 2:23. But they end with the Pharisees and the Herodians taking counsel together how they might destroy Jesus, Mark 3 and verse 6. To understand their anger, we need to understand something of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is first mentioned in Genesis 2 and verse 3. By inspiration, Moses said, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work. That passage does not tell us when God set the Sabbath apart, only that he did. From Adam to Moses, there is no command to keep the Sabbath, no example of anyone keeping it, and no penalty for failing to keep it. Nehemiah said that God had made known unto them thy holy Sabbath at Mount Sinai, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 14, when it was not known earlier. The keeping of the Sabbath was a distinguishing feature of the Jewish culture in the first century. Like circumcision and like their dietary restrictions, it was one of their customs that gave them their identity. It was given to make that distinction. In Exodus chapter 31 and verse 17, God said, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel, therefore exclusive of other nations. In Ezekiel 20 and verse 12, God said, moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify them. In sanctifying them, God set the children of Israel apart from the families of the earth. The Sabbath was a sign of that sanctification. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 19 through 20, God said, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. If the Sabbath had been intended for all the world to keep, it could not have been a sign of Israel's distinction. God prepared the children of Israel for the Sabbath in the wilderness, Exodus 16:22-26. But with the giving of the Ten Commandments, God bound the Sabbath on Israel for generations to come. Exodus 20:8-11, he said, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. In it thou shalt not do any work. Further instructions concerning the Sabbath were given in the law of Moses. But these instructions did not go far enough for the Pharisees. With an appeal to the authority of their fathers' traditions, they had imposed such restrictions on the Sabbath that they had turned their day of blessing into a day of oppression. Jesus did not recognize their authority. That is why they felt threatened, and that is why they wanted to destroy him. The disciples plucked ears of grain on the Sabbath, and because that violated the Pharisees' own stipulation, they accused his disciples of doing that which is not lawful. Jesus appealed to a greater authority when he said, "Have ye never read," Mark 2:25, "his authority was the Scriptures themselves. David even did that which was not lawful, according to the Scriptures. Yet they would excuse David because he had been anointed king, but Jesus was the anointed himself and a greater authority than David. The Sabbath law was his law. He was, Mark 2:25-28, Lord of the Sabbath. They followed Jesus into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. Jesus took the initiative and said to the man, "Stand forth." When he put his accusers on the spot, when he asked, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" Well, they held their peace because they refused to be taught. This angered and grieved Jesus. Doing nothing whereby they could accuse him, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." The text says, "And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Jesus demonstrated his authority by his power. And because of the hardness of the hearts that the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him that they might destroy him, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Jesus went on to fulfill the law. Having fulfilled it, he took it out of the way, Colossians 2:14, and with it went the Sabbath, Colossians 2 and verse 16. The New Covenant, New Testament, did not distinguish between the Jew and the Gentile. The Sabbath had fulfilled its purpose. In breaking down the wall of this partition, and the Lord of the Sabbath showed himself to be Lord of all. Now that was the article, and seek the old paths. Let me read this to you. Seek the Old Paths is a monthly publication of the Leoni Church of Christ and is under the oversight of its elders. It is free, being supported by the contributions of both individuals and congregations. Its primary purpose and goal in publication can be found in Jude 3, where it says to earnestly contend for the faith, and other such passages that admonish us to seek those old paths. All mail received may be published unless it is marked not for publication. The church building is located at 2132 Old McMinnville Highway, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. But the mailing address for Seek the Old Paths, now here's where you want to write this down. It's Post Office Box 7506, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. That is Leoni, L-E-O-N-I, Leoni Church of Christ, Post Office Box 7506, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. So if you'll write and ask for a copy of Seek the Old Paths, then you'll receive that monthly in your mail and be blessed with many good articles about the ancient faith. Now, with this, we're going to return to the Sunday school lesson we were studying last time our class met. This was a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 29th, 1928. And it's about the growing fame of Jesus. Jesus healed many people, and there followed him great multitudes from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus healed people, he healed them in body and in mind and in soul, all human frailties. He was opposed to human suffering. He healed people miraculously, but set in motion forces through his teachings a law that would alleviate human suffering and make all wise and good. Christianity is good. It's good for the body, the mind, and the soul. The principles are healthful and save from intemperance or self-indulgence of every kind. And its benevolence carries comforts and joy to the variously afflicted of the earth. It is aggressive, unselfish, and intimately missionary, seeking to bless and to save the whole world. Well, Jesus taught and saved the people. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, we read, Jesus went with his disciples and withdrew to the sea, and great multitudes from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, hearing what great things he did, came unto him. We read in Matthew 12, verses 15 and 16, Jesus with his disciples withdrew to the sea. After the facts of the last lesson and the attempt of the Pharisees and Herodians to kill him, Jesus withdrew from the synagogue to the sea. Hearing what great things he did, a great multitude from those countries and cities named gathered and followed Jesus. The geographical note for this lesson states where Judea, Jerusalem, and Galilee are. We're told that they were 240 towns and villages in the region of Galilee. Idumea was old Edom, the country south of Judea. Edomites, or descendants of Esau, inhabited this country. Beyond the Jordan, generally meant east of the Jordan, was the country of Perea. Tyre and Sidon were rich Phoenician cities on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Tyre is about 35 miles and Sidon about 50 miles north of Capernaum. And there's a description of the wealth and influence of these cities in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 26 through 28. There were flourishing seaports during the prosperous reigns of David and Solomon over Israel. Tyre was the leading seaport of the world. They furnished the material and workmen for building David's palace, Solomon's temple, and other buildings in Jerusalem. In return, they received wheat, barley, oil, and other things. They supplied materials, too, for the second temple. The Phoenicians were descendants of the Canaanites and were an intelligent, mercantile and manufacturing people. Being closely allied to the Israelites, they had an abundant opportunity for learning the truth and the worship of the true God. But they continued obstinately in idolatry and sin. For their idolatry and wickedness, Tyre and Sidon were warned and denounced by the prophets and were finally destroyed. After the time of this lesson, Jesus went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, where he healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, Mark 9:24-30. The fame of Jesus had reached all these places, and from them many had come to hear him and to be healed. We read in Mark chapter 3, 9 and 10, that he spake to his disciples, that a little boat should wait on him because of the crowd, lest they should throw on him. For he had healed many, inasmuch as that many as had plagues pressed upon him, that they might touch him. There were just so many people pressing him that Jesus wanted the little boat. He entered into it and pushed out a short distance from the shore. Then they would throw on him, but yet he healed them all. And to simply touch him, it was the touch of faith that made them whole. So also ought we seek Jesus for spiritual healing.